Good morning. It's good to be back with you. I had a wonderful time last Sunday. I was preaching a homecoming at my wife's family's old church down in Robeson County, a little framed church between Roland and Fairmont, with no air conditioning, but thank the Lord, it was a reasonably cool day with low humidity, a lot of ceiling fans. But we had about 188 people packed in that little frame church and had a great time visiting with people who had come from far and wide to share in that special homecoming time. Hope you're inviting friends, former members, and people to be with us homecoming on the 23rd here at the church. This Jeremiah passage is probably one of my favorite in all of Scripture. There are three or four passages in Scripture that are similar to this, that talk about our uniqueness and talk about God's claim and call on our lives. Now, we're in the process of preparing for Charge Conference, a new year, a new budget. We've already adopted that we will go forward with a new structure, and we're looking for people to be in new leadership positions and think in a new way. This passage is talking about our call from God. Now, this specific passage is talking about how Jeremiah was called as a young man, maybe a teenager, maybe a young adult, certainly no more than maybe 20 years of age at this time. But there's a similar passage in the book of Isaiah. There's another passage in Psalm that refers to David. So it appears to be a pattern that God is saying we're called to be something very very special. There's no one quite like us in all of the universe. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is what God is saying about each of us. Not just Jeremiah, not just Isaiah, not just David. Each one of us, at the moment we were conceived, God knew us. And science is only now beginning to unravel that marvelous mystery that is contained in that DNA molecule. A number of years ago, somebody with a supercomputer figured out that the mathematical possibility of any two humans being the same at the moment of conception was 10 to the 2 billionth, 400 millionth power. That is a phenomenal number. Scientists tell us that there are only 10 to the 76th power of atomic particles in the universe. And yet, the possibility of any two human beings being the same at the moment of conception is 10 to the 2 billionth, 400 millionth power. There's no one like you in the world. There has never been enough people in the past, and there will probably never be enough people in the future for that mathematically to happen once, just one time. And that's what God was saying to Jeremiah that day. Before you were even taking shape in the womb, I knew you. I knew who you could be. I knew everything about you. I knew you intimately. While you were being formed in that womb, while I was shaping your arms and your legs and your head and your body and the organs, as I was giving instruction through those DNA molecules of why this cell will become this and that cell will become that, I consecrated each of you, God is saying to us this morning. I laid my hands on you. I blessed you. I set you aside to be something incredibly wonderful. And before you were born, I called you. Now, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. So was Isaiah. David was called to be a king. But every one of us is called by our God to be something that can never be repeated in all of human history. Our job as human beings is to spend our life finding out what that special something is. God wants to use us to be a blessing to others. Now, Jeremiah had a hard time with this passage. He said, there's no way, no way, God, that I can be a prophet. First of all, I'm just a youth. Or as Ruth read in her version, a child. See, you were considered just a child until you were in your late 30s in those days. And he said, there's no way I can be a prophet. There's no way I can go out and talk to people. There's no way I can go out and say the kind of things that a prophet has to say, because they have to tell people things they don't want to hear sometimes. I can't do that. I'm too young. I don't know whether he was thinking I'm too young to die or what, but he didn't figure he was ready for that. But God had a plan for his life. He said, don't put yourself down. You're special. Anything I've asked you to do. You can accomplish it. You can be what I have called you to be, because you see, I've also equipped you to be that special person. God never asked us to do anything that doesn't equip us to fulfill. Now, one of the wonderful things about the life that we share together in the church is this ought to be a place where we come together for love, support, encouragement, and challenge to find out who we are. Not just what our Social Security number is, not just what our parents named us, not just what they thought we ought to be, not what the world thinks we ought to be. But we need to find out, Lord God, what do you want me to be? You made me special in all of the universe. You made me truly unique. And you've called me to something special, but I'm not quite sure what it is. This is one of the places that God gives us through Christ Jesus to discover that. And it's my hope as we journey together as pastor and people that will be a part of our intentional journey, that we'll help each other in that process of discovery. We'll try out things in the safety of this place, because this is where we should love one another and encourage one another to reach down in the very depths of ourselves and figure out, who am I and what special thing am I called to be? Now, some of you might be saying, well, I'm getting kind of old to go through that discovery process. If I hadn't figured it out now, you know, why start? But you know, some people don't find out until late in life. Some people don't discover that until just before death. And they haven't had a chance to work it out in the world. We're talking about a new way of ministering here at St. Matthew's Church. And instead of being in committees, we want to be in ministry teams. Your time is precious. Experts tell us that the average person only has 3 or 4 hours a week to give to volunteer to the community. Well, you don't need to be spending that time in committee meetings. I've never been in too many committee meetings that were all that thrilling, exciting, or inspiring. So we don't need to have as many. Anyway, committees sit around and figure out who isn't there that ought to be doing the work anyway. Or who among the group that's there will take it on and do it on behalf of the whole church. At our administrative board, we talked about let's go ahead towards ministry teams. Let's find 2 or 3 people that really believe in something, that really want to see something happen, who really feel called by God, maybe because they're trying to figure out and explore what they've been called to be, and try ministry in the life of the church and discover the gifts and the graces and the potential that God may have within them. And if 2 or 3 gather together and decide to do something, and they don't particularly need money from the administrative board or permission because of building use or something like that, then just do it. Be involved in ministry. Open yourselves up to be creative, to ask God what He wants to do through you, and then explore the possibilities of your specialness, of your uniqueness. You know, parenting and marriage aren't spectator sports. Have you ever noticed that? You don't sit back and just watch your marriage happen. You don't just sit back and watch your children happen. You may think that's the way it's going to be, but you don't get that choice. You don't have that luxury. Because parenting and marriage aren't spectator sports. Well, the church isn't a spectator sport. Of course, in the last few decades, you'd think that's what it'd become, a spectator sport. Show up on Sunday, put in my time, go home, and say, God, wasn't I good? That's not what it's all about. Just like marriage, family, parenting is an institution, the church is an institution. And the strange thing about the church is it's an institution designed for the purpose of serving people who aren't a part of it. It doesn't exist for us to just take care of each other, although we do that in the process. We exist to reach out to people who don't know about the church, who don't care about the church, who don't believe they need the church, and be a living witness to the love of God in such a way that they are drawn to the church. And we've turned it into some spectator something, because we figure that's what we hire preachers to do. The Sunday school teachers want to do stuff like that, let them at it. But that's not what it's all about. Just like God called David and Isaiah and Jeremiah, from the moment they were conceived, as they were being formed in the womb, He's calling you and me to reach down into the depths of our being and find what God sees is special about us and use it to benefit others, to make a difference in the world. See, when Jesus was on this earth, He shook things up. He went against the rules. He went against the religious establishment. The passage in Luke, which we didn't read today, was about a woman who was healed on the Sabbath. And as soon as Jesus healed this woman, a woman who probably had osteoporosis, she'd been bent over for 18 years, and Jesus healed her, and she stood up straight, and the scribes and the Pharisees said, okay, people, stop this healing. It's the Sabbath day. That's against the rules. But Jesus shook those rules up. He said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made to serve the rules. The rules are there to help mankind out. this woman needs help. And even if it's the Sabbath and break some of the silly rules we make in the world, it makes a difference to reach out to her and heal her. He didn't mind shaking things up, and it got him crucified. It was the very people who stood behind the religious rules that were behind his eventual death, because Jesus shook things up. But in the Hebrew passage that Ruth read this morning, we were told that if Jesus did that while he was here on earth, he's going to shake things up again. And this time, he's not just going to shake up things in the world. He's going to shake up things in the world and in heaven as he establishes fully his kingdom. But we don't have to worry about being too shaken up, because we're a part of his kingdom. You know, I can't imagine what it's like to be going through the kinds of things some people are going through today. The people out west at, Glacier National Park in Montana. The forest fire out there. People having to leave their homes because thousands and thousands of acres are burning up and threatening their homes. Or people where there are live volcanoes, and there are a couple of them around the globe right now, that are threatening people's lives and their homes. And recent floods and earthquakes. And I think how lucky we have been right in this little area to avoid those types of disasters, because that indeed really shakes up your life, can shake your confidence, and can even shake your faith in God. But the shake-up that's coming is going to be a lot greater than that. But Jesus said, you don't have to worry, because my kingdom is secure. And my kingdom is within you. The God who knew you the moment you were conceived, who called you to be something special in his world, to glorify his name, sent his son into the world to say, I'm giving you an inner kingdom that'll stand firm no matter what's happening in the world around you. So take courage and be the special person I've called you to be. There's no one in all of history quite like you. And if you don't become the person that God knew the moment you were conceived, the world's missing out on a wonderful gift. This church is missing out on a marvelous opportunity. The community and the world around us will miss your specialness forever. Don't be just a spectator. Be the person God called you to be, that can bring glory to his name. You don't have to be afraid, because just like he told Jeremiah, I'll be there to deliver you, to see that you accomplish what I've called you to be. He'll be there for you and for me. You know, sometimes I feel so unworthy to stand before you on a Sunday morning. Well, certainly, I'm not good enough. I'm certainly not as good an example as I ought to be as a Christian. I'm so aware of the ways that I fail personally. You know, in my personal life, in my family life, in not living up to all that God's called me to be. And sometimes it's very hard to come here on a Sunday morning knowing that about myself. But I think God's called me to be something special, even if I haven't reached it yet. He's equipped me to do something, even though I may not have achieved it yet. And he says the same thing to you. We can be so much more than we are right this moment in our lives if we'll just surrender to him and let him help us find that special person that we are and use that to his glory in this church, in our community, where you work, where you go to school, where you go have fun, to be what God has called you to be so you're blessed and become a blessing to others. Let us pray. Father, it's amazing that you could know each human being so intimately. But as creator, I guess that's not a difficult thing. For a God who can create the universe and all of life, to know each of us the moment we're conceived is incredible to us, but an everyday occurrence to you, Father. We wish that it were kind of an everyday thing for us, because so often we're struggling with trying to live up to what other people think we ought to be. Or we're picking up a newspaper or turning on a television program or listening to a record that tells us what we ought to be. We try to be so many things to so many people. That we lose ourselves and don't know who we really are. Help us to know that we can come to you, Father, through your Son, Christ Jesus, and discover that part of us that you have known from the beginning. That we can seek out that specialness that you love and appreciate in us. And that we can rise to the occasion of feeling better about who we are, because we stand firmly in your spiritual kingdom that cannot be shaken by sickness or distress or flood or earthquake or volcanoes or the pressures of everyday life. We stand firm in your love and in your care so we can grow into the persons you've called us to be. Thank you for loving us so much, and help us to give back our true selves to your glory and to your honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.